So, guys, we're having our second Sunday in a row streaming live. Everybody that's anybody that's going to log on live, welcome out this morning. And I'm just going to tell you guys, I got no idea how that's going to come out. I'm probably going to cry a lot. I don't know how it's going to come. Just hang in there, all right? Amen. We're just going to just bring the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit move powerfully. Amen. So, guys, just a little super quick review from last week. Still preaching on love, talking on a series of the fruit of the Spirit. And love there is agape. Right? And if you remember, guys, last week we talked about that agape. What I discovered last week, agape is not the root word. I've always thought it was the root word, but agape is actually built off of agapeo in the Greek, which is a verb. Amen? So if the original word is agapeo and it's a verb, that means agape has got to have some action to it to make it effective. Right? I can't say I love you and then do nothing. That's not... Because God so loved the world that he gave, right? Agapeo, amen? John 3:16, John 13, 34, 35, just some review. A new commandment, Jesus says, I give to you that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Greek, all three times, is agapeo. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Agape, amen? Let me just put a little pitch in here really quick, church. Should we... As Christians, right, as disciples of Jesus, should we love everybody? Well, I thought everybody would say yes, Pastor, of course, right? Yes. Let's all say it together. Yes, we're supposed to love everybody, right? But I'm seeing something very distinct in Jesus' teachings, Paul's teachings, and so this is what it is, right? We should love everybody. Love our enemies even, right? Just talked about that a few moments ago. But listen, what I'm really seeing here is that Jesus teaches, Paul teaches that there should be a distinct love within the fellowship of believers. Should have been like one amen about that. Listen, y'all, we're live. We need some audience participation, man, all right? Like, we're going to put like an applause sign over on the side out of the, like an amen sign. It's going to flash. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so... But you understand what I'm saying, okay? So if we go out into the world, which we should, we're going to talk about that when we get going in 2019. We're going to talk, the Lord spiritually stirred my heart about getting out into the community and evangelizing, amen? Never felt really pressed about that before personally, but the Lord's really on me about it. So if we go out into the world, into the community, and we're showing the love of Jesus to folks, they're broke down and, you know, all this stuff, and then they come into the church and they see dysfunction in the church, do you understand where we're going with this, y'all? What they experience when we talk to them about Jesus, they've got to experience at least that level of love, if not more, when they come into the congregation. Right? If I share the love of Jesus and then they come to church and they see tension and weird, you know, come on, y'all never gone to a place and you just feel it. You're like, hey, there's something weird, right? It just ain't right. Amen. So this is where we're pitching this stuff, right? We're going to be talking and teaching on this about, it's got to be, this is what Jesus says, right? Love for one, and he's talking about believers. We need to love the world, but he's talking about believers. Amen. You see it? Yeah. 1 John 3, just one more real quick, and then we're going to get right into it. We know love by this, agape, that he laid down his life for us. And, everybody say and? And we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. Look what he says again, not the world, brothers and sisters. Right? Don't mean we can't lay it down for the world, but we've got to make sure we're laying it down for brothers and sisters first. That's the Bible, y'all. Amen? Paul says, do good to all people, but especially of those that are of the household of faith. Right? I can't spend all I got out for folks that don't know Jesus. I need to focus on folks that do know Jesus because this is the body. Folks out there aren't part of the body yet. Can I get amen? My body, my red blood cells ain't going to help you until I'm good. If I'm good, then I can give you some red blood cells and help you out. Amen? Right? That good? Let's keep reading two more verses. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, the agapeo is the word there of God, abide in him. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Wow. Not enough to me to just say the right things. I've got to back it up. Right? Amen? Sermon this morning is called Love Covers. Everybody say it with me. Love Covers. Amen? So had all kinds of stuff going on this week. I was going to teach all kinds of stuff. Love does this and love does this and love does that. But Love Covers has really just stuck out. It's another one of those weeks I've had where I had a whole sermon done. And I was reading through it, and I was like, nope, that's not the right one. Right, just highlighted like three quarters of it and hit the delete button. And I said, all right, well, this is not what, it's okay, it's not bad, but this is not really what the Spirit of God is really stirring in my heart and wants us to hear this morning. So 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8, let's turn there in your Bible. This is going to be, do a little bit of teaching right here, and then we're going to look at one other story in the Old Testament. And I really hope you guys get it. Let's just pray. Because, man, we need the Holy Spirit to help us with this one. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, right? Jesus says this Holy Spirit is who's going to reveal everything to you, right? So, Holy Spirit, we just ask right now that as we do some teaching, some preaching here, we want to see this. Help every single person that's here this morning, every person that's watching online, every person that will watch later on, as we get into this, help us to have ears to hear, help our minds to be open, Lord, especially those of us that have been around for a while, we get a little crusty. But let's just, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you chip the crust off. Let us hear it clear, fresh, like we'd never heard it before. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8 says this, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. So church, sober just means lacking extremes. That's the Greek word. Sober does not mean not drunk, although we shouldn't be drunk either. Amen. Sober means lacking extremes, right? So it's like the person you see comes to church and they're really excited one Sunday, jumping up and down, running around the church, and then you don't see them for 6 weeks. And you call them up and, hey man, what's going on? Just seeing your church, you know? Oh, I'm just so depressed. You know, they're all over the map, right? They're not sober in spirit. Up and down, like a yo-yo. Amen. But Jesus even says that you bring the high places low and the low places high, right? He says, make straight paths for your feet, right? God wants a little bit of, we should get excited, man, and worship. Man, worship today, awesome, man. I was crying up there, man. I was like, yes, this is great. Awesome. Amen. But right, church, you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes in life, if a blessing comes, God's saying, be grateful, be thankful, but just keep moving, right? We like to camp out when good things happen. We like to hit the gas when stuff's not going good. But he's saying, just keep it steady, man, right? Sometimes you got to learn something when you're going through something hard, and sometimes a blessing is encouragement to just keep moving. Yeah? Amen. It's not even what I'm preaching about, but it's still pretty good. Above all, look what he says in verse 8, church. Above all. Wow. Keep fervent in your, guess what the Greek word is? Agape, for one another, because agape covers a multitude of sins. So we look at the way that Peter says this one verse here. He says, number one, above all, right? This Greek phrase literally means the most important thing. If we directly translate the Greek phrase, the most important thing is what Peter's saying, right? Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, he says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So Paul effectively says the same thing, right? Paul's saying, look, because the letter to Timothy is a letter to a young pastor. So when Paul says the goal of our instruction, he's saying, look, all the letters I wrote, Corinthians, Romans, Philippians, Thessalonians, all these letters, if you take everything I've ever taught, everything I've ever done, everything I've ever done for Jesus, the goal of all of it is agape, right? If we lose agape, we've lost everything. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, man, that's just not for weddings, everybody. Amen. I don't even use that when I do weddings anymore because everybody expects me to use it. I preach out of like, you know, Lamentations at weddings. I'm just kidding. I don't do that. Just long suffering, bro. You ready? I do. The Cedar Church, what he says, Peter's saying, look, the most important thing is to keep fervent in your love for one another, right? Fervent is, I always thought it meant hot, okay? I don't know why I thought that. This is what I thought. But the Greek word for fervent, if you study really to break the word down, it means to stretch oneself. All right, so when we look at Peter saying the most important thing is to stretch yourself in your agape for one another. Right? Because agape requires sacrifice, man. Okay, I can't agape you and not do something that inconveniences me at least occasionally. Right? Real love, church. Come on, like a parent with a kid, right? Anybody's got kids, you know, your kids get older. Don't matter how old your kids are, you could be 150 and your kids call you, you know, and you don't care what time it is, you pick the phone, oh, okay, I'll be right there, you know. I mean, we do the craziest stuff for our kids, but you know what? That's because God does the craziest stuff for his kids. He does stuff that don't make any sense at all. Right? He gives us things that we don't deserve all the time. Amen? So when he says to stretch yourself, right, fervent your love for one another because love covers, everybody say it with me, love covers a multitude of sin. Right, now, church, you've got to catch this. I never realized that this was agape right here because Peter's not talking about God's love coming down on us. He's talking about the love that we've received from God, which is agape, only comes from God. Amen. He's saying that the love that I receive has got to go this way. He's talking that this kind of love, right? Keep fervent in your love for one another this way. Amen, right? Not phileo love. That's another Greek word. That's like friendship love, right? And that's cool. We need to do that, right? Phileo love is like we have things in common. We enjoy spending time together. That's phileo love. It's I give you, you give me, right? It's reciprocal. But agape love is I give you something. I give you the best I've got, and you don't give me nothing back, and I keep doing it. Church, it's literally impossible. If you don't know Jesus, you cannot love like that if you don't have the Spirit of God producing that fruit in your heart. Amen? It's impossible. And you know what? The devil, we talked about fear a little bit earlier, right? That one of his big weapons is fear. You know what? Why his weapon is fear? Because he's afraid. He's afraid that the children of God will really get a hold of what God has done in their hearts and that we will really get a hold of who we are in Jesus. We'll really get a hold of the fact that who I was has zero power to control who I am and who I'm going to be. Zero. But boy, he whispers in our ear and stuff happens to us and we think about, last year, 10 years ago. And it's just this trick of the devil, man. If we'd recognize that, amen, and start stepping on his throat and saying, shut up, we'd start making some progress. Amen. Is that good? You guys see this? Keep fervent in your love. So the last word here, and this is the word we're going to use for the rest of the day, is that love. This love covers a multitude. The Greek word for multitude is this word that we get plethora from. The English word plethora, right? Isn't that a funny word? Plethora. You know, plethora means a whole lot. Amen. It's a very large number. We don't even know how large it is. But love covers. The Greek word for covers, y'all, means a few different things that are in my notes. Let me go read it because I don't want to mess it up because it's so important. Covers means, let me find it. In the Greek, it means to cover someone up, to hide, to conceal, to keep secret, to envelop, right? Not envelope, but to envelop, right? So to envelop, if you don't know what that word means, it's like to surround, right? If you get enveloped by something, right? So like we were blowing leaves in the front yard the other day and I jumped in them and the kids enveloped me in all the leaves, right? I was all buried up, you know, and Everly thought that was great. She was getting a kick out of it, right? So envelop or to protect. That's the way this Greek word is translated elsewhere in the Bible. Amen? To cover someone up, to hide, conceal, keep secret, to envelop, or to protect. Amen? Let's turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. And as you're turning there, the Holy Spirit, as I was studying this earlier this week, when I saw that definition of that Greek word, to cover someone up, that's the first definition of my Bible software. I immediately thought of Noah. And we're going to look at the end of Noah's story right here for the rest of the morning. And again, Holy Spirit, just help us to catch this because it's so powerful. You guys all there? Genesis 9, verse 20. Say amen when you're there. Yeah, all right. Verse 20, then, so this is after the flood, everybody, right? Right after the flood, they come off the ark. It says, then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and became drunk. Oh, no. And he uncovered himself. Everybody say inside his tent. Inside his tent, right? Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and walked backward. Everybody say walk backward. And covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were turned away. Everybody say turned away. So that they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah woke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. Now we don't know how he knows that. We just know that he knows it, right? So he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brothers. He also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be a servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. Amen? So, we need to see, number one, how serious this is. God is very, very serious about this. When the Lord started stirring this passion in my heart, as I said a moment ago, I immediately thought of this story. And Ham is the first one that comes in. And though we don't know exactly what he did, all it says is that he told his brothers. We don't know. Some preachers say, well, he was making fun of his dad. The Bible doesn't tell us that. Amen. All we know is what he didn't do, which is to cover his father's nakedness. We know that he did not do that, which obviously is what he should have done. Right? So what transpires, what results from this is that Noah curses him. Look at it. Look at the story again. Not him. Does Noah, when Noah woke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done, so he said, cursed be Ham. That says Canaan. Cursed be Canaan. Isn't that interesting, church, that he does not? Noah does not curse Ham, who's the one that did it, but rather he curses Canaan, who is Ham's son. And he's saying that there's a curse that will be upon not you, but upon your children. And we know that the Bible talks about that God will visit the sins of the fathers unto the third and the fourth generations. Amen, right? And so, and we also know, let me just make sure that I'm very clear about this, we also know that generational curses are broken in Jesus. Amen, right? The Bible says that there will no longer be this parable spoken again, that the father ate sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. It's in Jeremiah. Amen, that's right. There's the breaking of generational curses, right? But if you read right on down, it says that every man will die for his own sin. Right? The father who sins will die. The son who sins will die. The father who does what's righteous will be blessed. The son who does what's right will be blessed. Amen. I can't blame, well, you know what? That's powerful, but it also puts responsibility on me and on you. I can't say, well, my granddad was an alcoholic and my dad was an alcoholic, and so I'm an alcoholic. Not if you're not saved, you ain't an alcoholic, bro. I can't blame my ancestors for what's going on in my life. I've got to take responsibility for what I'm doing before God. Amen. So bear with me here, guys, all right? We're gonna bring this into a spiritual truth, amen? So Ham's sons and grandsons and so forth received this curse from Noah. Do you know who Ham's descendants were? We see Canaan here, and this just lit on me on Saturday morning, I think it was. And I looked this up just to make sure I'm not teaching something wrong. Amen. But so when I saw that Ham's son's name is Canaan, it was like, I go click. I go, oh my goodness. It's the Canaanites. And if you actually look it up, just Google it, man. You can find it anyway. There's all kinds of teachings on it. So you know who Ham's sons are? The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Perizzites. All these ites. You know who those? No, there are Perizzites. It's in there. And it really is. But you know who all those people were? Those are all the people that are living in the promised land that God told Moses and Joshua to go kill them all. Go into this land and wipe them out. And if you notice, he tells Shem the blessing for Shem is that you will grow, you'll be multiplied, right? Then he blesses Japheth, and he says, you will grow and you'll be blessed and multiplied, but he says, you'll be multiplied in the tents of Shem, right? So guess who comes out of the lineage of Shem, everybody? Let's say it together, Moses. So the blessing from Noah onto Shem's line is that out of Shem comes the line of the Levites, the line of the priesthood in the Old Testament, amen? And Moses is from the tribe of Levi. Can I get amen on that? So here's why, you're like, Pastor, I don't understand why you're bringing this up. I'm bringing it up, church, because in the back of my head, I realized for years and years and years, I've always thought, man, if God is so good, right? I heard somebody ask me this the other day, if God is so good, why does he do so many awful things in the Old Testament? What did the Canaanites do that was so bad? Well, they worship another guy. Okay, I mean, I understand all that. But can I get amen on this, church? But you know what I actually said to this person? It was on Facebook we were talking about. I said, you know what? The problem, the issue is that everything that God seems to do that's harsh in the Old Testament is because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. It's a result of sin, everybody. It's not God being mean. Okay, I'm going to be mean today, and I'm going to wipe out 26,000 people. It's a result of sin, church. And if we lose sight of that, then we depower what Jesus did on the cross. If we realize what we deserve without Jesus, man, then we'd look at the cross and we would weep every day. We would say, thank you, Jesus, that that is not my portion anymore. I am not going to rot in hell forever. I am not going to suffer eternal damnation and just burn forever and ever because you took my place on the cross. Wow. Isn't that powerful, man? Isn't that so good? So do you see this, church? The reason that Moses was commanded by God to go into the land of Canaan was because Ham did not cover Noah's nakedness. I think God feels pretty strongly about this. Amen? Because we live in this dispensation, right? Dispensation is a fancy Bible term for period of time. Right, we're living right now, church, and the theologians call it the dispensation of grace, right? So the Bible talks about Jesus and says that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, right? So my theology on that currently is that when you read through the Old Testament, the Bible says that all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, right? So that means because of what Jesus has done, not only on the cross, but coming back to life, seated at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us, that we can live in a period of time when we do sin, when we do fall, the curses of God don't come on us because Jesus is quite literally holding them back. Right? We can receive all the promises from Abraham on, amen, without receiving the curses when we mess up. How many people think that's worthy of some praise? Yeah? Come on, man. So look, because we are all going to mess up, man, we're going to do dumb stuff. Can I get amen? Anybody done something dumb even this morning? Praise God. Right? But man, God is so patient and kind with us. Amen. Isn't it good that we're living? So when we talk about that Noah cursed him, please, church, do not receive that God is going to curse you. That is not what I'm saying. Can I get at least one amen on that? All right. But what I am saying, church, is that wrap this thing up pretty quick here in a few moments, if we don't catch what I'm saying here this morning, what the Spirit of God is saying to us, what happens when we expose someone's nakedness is that we grieve the Spirit of God. He will not move. Amen. We live in a culture, and I just think about our culture, man. Do you know that there are media, just look at the media today for crying out loud. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Little side note, I'm going to tie it all in. Hang on. All right. I just saw it from two separate sources the other day that these women that were accusing Judge Kavanaugh, they came out and said they're lying. How come that didn't make it on CNN? They came straight out and said, we lied. We lied the whole time. One lady even said, I was so angry that he got chosen, I lied about it because I was angry. What? Man, look at our culture, man. You know what we love as humans? You know why? You know, this is why tabloids, right? Is that what they call those things when you check out the grocery store? You know, the tabloids. This is why they're worth like millions. Because church, I even catch myself. I look over and I'm like, whoa, so-and-so is, you know, Elvis is still alive. He's on an island somewhere. Whoa. You know, whatever. I mean, whatever it is, man, you know. Whoa. Barack Obama's actually an alien from another planet. Whoa, you know. We love Barack. Bless him in Jesus' name. But can I get amen, church? There's something that draws our human nature to that stuff, right? We're drawn to gossip. Our flesh likes gossip. Amen? We love, not our spirit. Your spirit don't like gossip at all, man. But our flesh, man, we're at the office and we hear somebody talking about somebody and we, you know, even as Christians, we kind of go like, we kind of lean in a little bit. We're like, I always knew that Bob did that. You know, we like it. Can I get an amen, church? Am I talking to anybody this morning? Right? And you know what? Think about this. If you ever know somebody who's a bully, right? You ever seen somebody bully somebody? Hopefully we don't got any bullies in here or we're going to cast a demon out of you. Amen. But do you know why bullies bully people? Because bullies are insecure. All right? And the reason that bullies bully other folks is because if I can make you look worse than I look, that means everybody's going to look at how bad you look and they're not going to look at me. Amen, church? There's these two dudes that go to the temple to pray one day, and one guy is on his knees. He's crying out to God. He's got tears around his face, beating his chest, and he's crying out to God saying, "Have mercy on me, God. I'm a sinner." And the other guy is standing a little bit, and he looks over, and he's like, "Well, God, I thank you I'm not as bad as that guy." And Jesus is teaching this, and he looks at the crowd, and he says, "Which one of these two men went away justified that day?" It's funny, even we were singing that song this morning, it's just worship was, man, it was so good this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for visiting us. Man, that was so good. But man, we were singing that song about, oh, come to the altar, right? And just last night or this morning early, the Holy Spirit just whispered to my heart, he says, son, the altar is a place of freedom. The altar is a place of deliverance. The altar is a place of worship. Man, look in the Old Testament. Every time God says worship, he says build an altar, right? And I said, okay. And then the Lord says to me, you know what culture has done to the altar today? Is made it a place of shame. It's turned into a place of shame and we don't even know it. Because you know what happens? Hey, I really feel God's speaking to us today. I want everybody that struggles with blank to come up to the altar. We're going to lay hands on you and believe that God's going to set you free. And like one person like sheepishly comes out of their seat and hope nobody's looking at them. And they kind of go over in the corner and bend down. So, you know, they're below the head level of everybody else in the congregation. So, because you know what? You know what we think? This is the devil, man. It's fear. Amen. Right? What's everybody going to think about me? Who cares? Man, who cares what everybody, thank you. Who cares what everybody thinks about you? Man, I care what Jesus thinks about me. That's all I care about. And I care about getting free, man. I don't care what I got to do to get free. Is that right, church? Right? The altar, this is our altar today in modern day church, man. We're not building stuff out in the woods somewhere. Amen. Maybe some folks are. I don't know. Can I get amen on that, man? God is looking to set us free, not just from sin, but from the shame of it. Shame is what keeps us bound, church. Amen. So, you guys ready to get spiritual? This is going to be so good, man. I was like crying putting this together. It was awesome. Okay, here we go. Shame in the Hebrew here, in the Hebrew, so it says that, not shame, covered, right? Hang on a second. Nakedness. Here, you see nakedness twice in that verse, right? The two sons covered the nakedness of their father. The Hebrew word for nakedness means, elsewhere in the Bible, same word, means shame, undefended parts, or uncovered. Noah wasn't just physically naked. He was in a position where his shame was exposed. Amen. Think about this, man. When you got saved, does Jesus come with his love and expose all your baggage to everybody? No, man. He comes and he covers it. Right? In the Bible, there's promises in the Bible that I know that God is trying to do here for years like this. Confess your sins, therefore, to one another. If we confess our sins to one another, right, then God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us, right? Another one, he says, to walk in the light. If we, right, we church, walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, then, everybody say then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. So, if I'm coming to church and I got some shadows because I got some, you know, I push all the cool stuff, all the stuff I think is approvable in church. I push all that stuff to the front. We call it church mask, right? I put my church mask on. How you doing, brother? Great. I'm doing wonderful. It's praise God. You know, my marriage is a mess, but I don't want to say that in church because somebody might judge me. Yeah. I got kids going off the rails, but I want to talk about that because we're in church and we're supposed to have it all together. Man, do you see where we're going? Where I'm going with this, y'all? We're so afraid in church of exposing our nakedness. The areas of our lives where we feel undefended. Areas of our lives where we feel unprotected. Where we feel that are just so vulnerable, right? We put our best foot forward and hope that nobody sees through the veil as to what's really going on. Amen? And so as I got a call. I called somebody yesterday afternoon here in the church, and we're talking about a member in their family. And man, I literally just finished these notes, and we prayed together. And man, I was crying, but I was like, man, they went on a bender and getting drugs or whatever doing. But I was picturing myself. I said to this person, I said, just see this in your spirit with me, all right? I said, literally, we're going to take a garment and we're walking in backwards into this person's life right now in Jesus' name. We're not even looking at it. I ain't going to look at your shame. I ain't going to look at what you've done wrong. I'm going to come in with this garment and we're going to cover you. Amen. But boy, what happens? We do it in church, y'all. We find out something about somebody in church and we're like, oh no, how are they? How can you be a Christian and still do that? Man, does that mean that, whatever that is okay? Of course it doesn't mean that. It's not okay. Can I get an amen, church? Look, Jesus came to set us free from sin. We should not be sinning. If we're sons and daughters of God, we shouldn't be sinning. Can I get amen on that? But look, we all do. Man, let's grow up and get over it. We all sin. Is anybody here didn't sin this week? I don't know. Probably not, right? Thanks be to God that we have an advocate with the Father. Amen, right? So look, the point is, church, that if I admit that I've failed, you know what I'm doing right there? I'm exposing some nakedness to you. I'm exposing something that's raw in my heart, something that I feel like I'm embarrassed about. I'm ashamed about it. Amen? Right? And when I was younger, I used to have these dreams. I don't know if anybody have these dreams. I would be somewhere, like I'd be going to school or something like that, or, you know, I'd be playing soccer or whatever in this dream. And all of a sudden, I'm in my underwear. I was never naked in the dream, praise God. But the underwear's just as bad. I mean, just imagine, like, just, you know, you're at Walmart, you know, and all of a sudden, poop, you just stand there in your tighties, you know. Woo, you know. It's embarrassing, amen, right? There's something embarrassing about it, right? We have our culture. That's not embarrassing in culture anymore. People walking around their underwear in public now. It's ridiculous. But church, amen, fairly normal folks, you know, right? You know, hang on, let me get covered up, right? You know what I'm saying? We want to get clothed. Is that right? This is what happened to Noah. Can I get amen, church? Should Noah have got drunk? Probably not. You know, there's no law that says you can't get drunk yet. Amen, that's still coming. All right, but he probably shouldn't have done that. So he did something he should not have done and you know, laid down in his tent and his tunic kind of flopped the wrong direction, if you know what I'm saying. Amen, right? But his son comes in church, and what does his son do? His son, we don't know exactly, but he goes out and tells the brothers what he should have done is cover it. Can I get amen on that, right? And what's going on here? I started thinking about this. I started thinking about, man, you know, in Adam and Eve, when God makes Adam and Eve, puts them in the garden, and you know what the Bible says? That they were naked and were not ashamed. And when they took of the apple or whatever that fruit was, when they ate of the wrong tree, the first thing they experienced was shame. Shame. And they stir some fig leaves together, you know, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah, come on, man. But you know what, church? God is so concerned about it that he comes in and he says, what's going on? They hide from God. Their shame causes them to withdraw from God and hide. You know, they're hiding behind a tree. It's like God's like, where are you? Like he doesn't know. Amen. I mean, come on. You're God. You know exactly where we are, right? But you know what God does? He realizes that they're shameful, that they've taken on shame. He kills an animal. We see the first blood spilt in the history of creation. To do what? Cover their shame. Cover their shame. Amen. Just raise your hand. Anybody ever felt ashamed? Boy, we don't want to talk about that stuff, do we? Like, let's stuff that in a closet somewhere, you know? Last point. You guys ready for the last one? We're done right here. This is the best one. Is this good so far? You guys liking this? So just, again, studying through this one verse, just kept grinding through it, and the looked at that word that they covered Noah with a garment, right? So it's a garment. But the Hebrew word there is the same word used for mantle. And boy, this was the last one. I saw this yesterday morning. It just, boy, hit me. I just was overwhelmed. Because such a mantle in the Old Testament represents a call from God. So Elijah has a mantle. And Elisha is following him. And you know the promise is if you see Elijah when he's taken up from you, his mantle should fall on you, right? And so that's what happens. Elijah gets taken up in a whirlwind, and Elijah cries out, my father, right? And because he sees him go up, boy, the mantle falls, right? And it's the anointing of God on his life. It's the call as a prophet of God on his life, amen? And Elisha picks up that same mantle, puts it on, and he starts where Elijah stopped, right? The last thing Elijah did was split the river in half, and Elisha picks up the mantle, puts it on, and the first thing he does is split the river in half. Right? He don't have to start over and learn all kinds of new stuff. He picks up that anointing right where it's left off. Amen? And that's so good. Look, if you blow it, man, you don't got to start over. Somebody got to hear that right now. If you come on, man, we've all wandered into the weeds at some point. Can I get amen on that? We've all made mistakes. We've all done stuff that says, oh, no. You know, man would say, oh, man, you're disqualified. But that's not what God says. The blood of Jesus is stronger than you having to start over. Yeah, sometimes we got to clean the mess up, but man, God says my anointing is on you to do what I called you to do. Amen, church. So think about this. Noah, at this point, when this happens, do you know how many humans are on the earth according to the Bible? 8. It's right after the flood. There's only 8 humans left on the earth. That's what the Bible says. Read the story, man. It says that the entire earth is repopulated out of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and they boom, right? So think about what is Noah's position in the world right now. He's literally what we would call the patriarch, right? This is a position of extreme honor. It's a position of renown. Can I get amen, right? So now Noah does something that violates this position he's got, this position of honor. He's done something shameful. And the one son mocks it, but the other two sons, they come in with a, what's the word, church? A garment, right? But the Hebrew word means what? Mantle, right? So they're coming in really with Noah's mantle. They're not looking at what he's done that's foolish. They're looking at who he is before God. And they're saying, we're not even going to look at what you've done wrong. I won't even look at it. I'm going to look away from it, but I'm going to pick up what belongs to you, what God says about you, and I'm going to come in backwards. I don't want to talk about your shame. I don't even need to know what you did wrong. What I want to remind you of, Noah, is that you have a mantle from God, and I'm going to cover up what you've done wrong with what God says about you. Come on, church. look, we got preachers that are fallen. We got folks in church. Folks in church get divorced. You know that there are churches around. Oh, you've been divorced. Oh, my God. You had a baby out of wedlock. Oh, my goodness, church. Can we grow up, man? Do you think God is not bigger than that? There's one sin that the Bible says is unpardonable. It's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I got a feeling that some of the folks that are killing people because they got divorced or made a bad choice, that they're actually the ones blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Because they're saying the Holy Ghost ain't big enough to overcome what you did wrong. Amen. Is this helping anybody? See, I think, church, we always cry out to Jesus. Jesus, cover my sin. Help me. And he will. My goodness, will he. But what Peter says is that you, as sons of God, have the same anointing, the same authority, the same power, the same ability to cover someone's sins just like Jesus does. Amen? Church, how does Jesus deal with our sin? He covers it, and then what happens? The Holy Ghost starts that. Oh, yeah. He starts that grind in there. Doesn't that feel good? How many people like when Holy Ghost starts grinding? You're like, oh, no, stop, please, I'm sorry. Right? But you know, church, every time we do that, you know what you hear that little whisper? It's all right. Amen. Church, I'm telling you what, this new season we're going into, man, God's going to work with the folks that are right here because we got to work some of this stuff out still. Amen. It's funny. I got a text from someone earlier this week and just realizing, and this person just realizing their own heart, saying, wow, there's so much bad stuff in my heart. Not sin, just hurt, you know, from old church stuff. And we had a great talk. I said, hey, it's all good. Don't worry about it. But man, we're seeing God is digging. He's digging, man. He's going to work right here, get us straight. Amen. Every one of us, right? Because church, there are thousands and thousands of broken people within 10 miles of this building. Thousands. I looked up, Lord had me look up, but he was helping me get over myself. Anybody need to get over yourself once in a while? Amen, right? I was getting kind of jealous about other churches growing, you know, numbers and saying, oh, I was whining probably, I don't know. But you know, the Lord just told me one morning in prayer, he says, son, he just told me just straight up. He says, go look up what the population is in Farmington and then every town that touches the borders of Farmington, right? There's like 8 towns. I looked it up. Anybody want to take a guess how many people? Not quite. 245,000 people. And I'm worried that there's a couple hundred folks at the church up the street. Like, God's like, yo, there's plenty of folks out there. Get over yourself, stop whining about it, and get out there and tell somebody about Jesus, man. Look, there's plenty of people that need Jesus out there. We look at folks living big fancy houses, drive fancy cars, like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to talk to them about Jesus. Because they're successful. Oh, man. Do you know how many of those folks are broken? They're drug addicts. They're alcoholics. They're beating their wives. They're cheating on their husbands. Their kids are a mess. Just because it looks good on the surface, man, don't mean it's not dead inside. Do you know, I'm just going to say it, man. I'm going to let it rip, and I'm done right here. Amen. Do you know that this is just what God told me recently, man? He says, you know why I put your church where it is? I said, I'd love to know that because I wouldn't have put it here. Amen. He says, you know, son, because when the revival breaks out and the people right here, just within 5-6 miles of this church, man, they start getting saved and they start catching on with giving and being generous. He says, you know how much money will come in for the kingdom of God? Man, you want to talk about just the resources, man, to just make an impact. Homeless people, drug addiction. I mean, just right here, we haven't got to go overseas, man. There's plenty of messed up folks right here. Can I get an amen? Do you guys believe that? Amen. It's awesome, but I'm telling you what God is saying to us this morning, and some of you might need to work it out at your home with your spouse. Man, when they do something and they uncover their nakedness, they know they've done it. Come on, man. If you do something wrong, you know it. I don't need somebody telling me what I done wrong. I need somebody that's going to cover me. Right? I need somebody that's going to say, man, look, it's a mess, but I got you. Right? We'll clean it up. We ain't going nowhere. Amen, church? This is what Shem and Japheth did. They, right? And sometimes, because sometimes folks do things to us that hurt. It hurts. But we need to ask God, help me see this person as you see them. Help me see the mantle that you've given them. Help me, God, to be able to remind that person of who they are. Not what they've done, but who they are. Amen, church? Isn't that good? Yeah, let's all stand up and just want to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we know that there is some awesome things brewing all around. I mean, there's, Lord, you're moving in so many places right now, but God, you're moving right here too. And Father, I am humbled and grateful that you are speaking to us clearly. You're teaching us how to love like you love, God. And Father, that you're teaching us as we go the next several weeks, you're teaching us how to be fruitful people. Even Jesus, you said that I've said these things to you so that your fruit would remain. Amen, church. God doesn't want to just pop in a little bit of fruit out, you know, a couple of times a year, but there's just some fruit that just keeps coming. Amen. No matter what the season is going on around us on the outside, that on the inside, we're fruitful people. We're bearing this fruit for the nations, amen. We're bearing this fruit for our neighbors and our coworkers. We're bearing this fruit, showing people, look, there is a way that is better than what you're doing. So, Father, this day, God, I'm asking for grace that we would start covering people's shame. Father, we decree and declare in Jesus' name that shame has no more power in this church, but that kindness, God, and compassion and empathy and grace, God, would rise up, Father God. That, Lord, we would come no matter what we've done wrong, that when we come and that nakedness gets exposed, that we would, that whoever we expose it with, God, would come in with that garment, that mantle, and say, man, look at, this is who you are, bro. That's what you've done, but this is who you are. God is not done with you, man. So, Lord, we thank you. We receive that wisdom from God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Tuesday night, we have our last Bible study, session number four. Dr. Tony Evans about Watch Your Mouth. We'll be live here around 7:30 on Facebook, but we start about 7 o'clock. We watch the video together, and then we go live on Facebook at 7:30. And Wednesday prayer, man, if you can make it, we are having some awesome times in prayer, man. Just it's awesome. If you're a little weird about a prayer meeting, just come check it out. Amen. Just come check it out. See what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Amen.